Hi, this is R.C. Sproul inviting you to join me this coming summer for another breathtaking cruise to Alaska. This year, once again, we'll be going to Alaska from June 15 to June 22nd. And the subject I'll be lecturing on is Chosen by God. Now, some of you have already been with us on that voyage to Alaska, and you know really how spectacular that is. It's my favorite place to cruise. And in 08, we'll be going on another Holland American ship, the MS Westerdam, which will sail out of Seattle, Washington, and we'll be visiting Glacier Bay National Park. And if you've never been on that inside channel of Glacier Bay, you haven't seen anything yet. That is fantastic. And we'll be at Juneau, the capital of Alaska, the Sitka, Ketchikan, Victoria, British Columbia, and these ports of call. So if you're interested at all in planning a vacation with us in June of 08, where we'll be studying the doctrine of election together, for more information, give us a call at 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 1-800-435-4343, or visit us online at ligonier.org. That's ligonier.org, and they will give you all of the information of the different levels of cabins that are available and the various price structure. So think about this. We'd love to have you, and join us. You'll have a great time.
What time is it? Where are you in your life right now? Stay tuned. Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul is next. Welcome to this Monday edition of Renewing Your Mind with author, teacher, and theologian Dr. R.C. Sproul. Americans are slaves of the clock. We strap them around our wrists, hang them on the walls, and put them just about anywhere we can to tell us where we are chronologically. As accurate as clocks are, they don't tell us everything. They don't tell you when it's time to cry or laugh, or when it's time to keep or throw away. What time is it in your life right now? As we continue our study of the book of Ecclesiastes, Dr. Sproul will teach us about an alternate way of measuring time in our lives. Here is our teacher with today's lecture.
At Ligonier Ministries, which produces this program, Renewing Your Mind, we publish a monthly magazine that has daily devotionals in it and essays from leading Christian scholars each month. And for many years now, it's been my responsibility to write a column, to write an article each month in Table Talk magazine, which is the name. And the title of my essay is Right Now Counts Forever. And a long time ago, when we launched that magazine, I had to choose a title for the essay that I would write regularly. And I thought of many titles and discarded all the rest, obviously, and landed on that title, Right Now Counts Forever. And the reason I chose that title was this, that we are living in a period of revival of ancient skepticism and pessimism, and that we are assaulted on every side by the theme of negative existential philosophy that teaches us one of two things. Either right now doesn't count at all, or right now counts for right now, and that's all. And if all right now counts for is right now, there's no real difference from that and saying right now counts for nothing. We are all concerned with the lasting significance of life and effort and production. I'm not interested in producing something that is useful for a moment and then perishes. As Christians, we are called to be concerned about eternal things. and to think about everything that we do from the vantage point of the eternal. And the statement that is the title of my article every month, Right Now Counts Forever, is my attempt to crystallize the central message of the Bible, that everything that happens today has eternal significance. Every cup of cold water that you give to a thirsty person counts, and it counts forever. Every idle word that we utter, as our Lord has said, will be brought into the judgment and therefore will count forever. There is no such thing as a cyclical view of history to God. I was always very much involved in sports as a young man, and I'm still an avid follower of professional sports and get all excited about the Super Bowl or the NBA championship playoffs and so on. And you see the unbelievable joy that fills human beings when a championship is won. But every time that that happens, I think about that it's over now. And next season, everybody goes back to square one, and we start all over again. And there's this mad, relentless pursuit of a new championship. Granted, when one championship is won, you can't ever take it away from anybody. They can savor that as long as they live. But there is a sense in which it's short-lived from an earthly perspective. But in God's sight, everything that we do counts forever. Now, when we go to the book of Ecclesiastes, what we're seeing here is a contrast in views of life and of history. I mentioned that in our last session. I want to turn your attention now to chapter 3. Now, we looked in the introductory chapter of chapter 1, where we read the theme of the vanity of life. That's followed by a short section in which the Koheleth, or the preacher, the author of this book, speaks of the pain and sorrow that accompanies the acquisition of wisdom. Because there is a sense in which the axiom, ignorance is bliss, is true. The more knowledge we acquire, the more wisdom we gain, the more pain we are alert to in the world. And the second chapter speaks of the vanity of pleasure. Because the most common response to pain and to the threat of a meaningless life is to seek temporary joy in pleasure. In chapter 2, we have the ancient world's understanding of hedonism, seeing the meaning of life in the pursuit of pleasure. But the author of Ecclesiastes reveals that that too is vanity, that whatever pleasure is gleaned from that kind of earthbound pursuit is always less than satisfying in the end. And so he says that the end of labor, the end of pleasure, even the end of studying things doesn't do it. You can acquire all the knowledge that you want, all the pleasure that you want, all the wealth that you want, but if it's all understood under the sun, you will end in futility. And so again, what we're saying is, how does this relate to the time that we spend in this world? And chapter 3, I think, is profound in this regard. Let's look then at chapter 3. It begins with these words that are very familiar because they have found themselves being incorporated as lyrics in folk singing in the United States. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, the way it's sung in our culture is turn, 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 which suggests a cyclical view of a meaningless repetition of time. But we notice in chapter 3, we're not talking about the perspective under the sun, but chapter 3 introduces the idea that for everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. That is, from the heavenly perspective, there is a timeliness and a purpose for everything that we do. This answers the idea of pessimism, I believe, that it says that there is a purpose and a meaning to everything that I do, but also it's important to understand what we do in terms of its timeliness. There's a word in the English language that we all can say. It's part of our vocabulary, but it's not always a part of our wisdom. And that one word is this: appropriate. Lots of times we do the right things at the wrong time, or the wrong things at the right time. Whereas wisdom leads us to do what is appropriate, given the options, given the situation, given the timeliness. I'm not describing what is called situation ethics here, but certainly ethical behavior always takes place in a concrete situation. And our life is always lived in a concrete situation. And to know what is the appropriate thing certainly often requires more wisdom than I have, and I suspect than you think that you have. But in simple but profound terms, the author of Ecclesiastes expands on this by saying, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to be born and a time to die. Isn't it interesting that when we try to write a brief biography in the shortest of all possible ways, to inscribe upon a tombstone, so often, all that we say about a person is their name, the date of their birth, and the date of their death. Because what is communicated is that that person had a lifespan. They had time to be someone and to do something. They were born at a particular time, and they died at a particular time. From a Jewish perspective, a man's days are ordered by the Lord. There's no such thing with God as an untimely death. And I remember buying some insurance from Presbyterian Ministers Fund, and the salesman came to me and was trying to speak euphemistically to my wife about if anything should happen to your husband, or if in the event of a premature death, he finally used the word death. And I looked at him and I said, I thought you were representing the Presbyterian Ministers Fund. He says, why is that? I said, I didn't know that Presbyterians believed in premature death. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. And Ernest Hemingway doesn't set that time, and I don't set that time. God sets that time. I was born in 1939 in the month of February at a certain time in world history because that's the way God planned it. God ordained that I should be born, when I was born, and how I was born, to what parents I was born, and so on. And I believe that He's equally decreed from the foundation of the world the time, the place, and the method of my expiration. Because God understands that there's a time and a purpose for everything. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. A couple of years ago, I read a book written by a scientist who teaches in California. Fascinating book of the history of cosmology and of science. And talked about some of the early advances in astronomy and in exploration. And what it was that motivated the ancient scholars to make such a diligent study of the movement of the stars in the heavens, and why they paid such attention to those stars that seemed to behave in a manner unlike all the rest of the stars. There's this little group of stars that seemed to wander to and fro across the heavens, and they were called wandering stars, and the word for that was planet. So we get the idea of planet. And it was through the study of astronomy and watching the phases of the moon and so on, the cycle of motion in the heavens, that astronomers came up with such matters as the average length of a solar year, the average days of a lunar period, a month, and so on, and that all of the calculations by which we measure time in terms of years days, hours, minutes, and seconds were derived in the main from these studies of astronomy. But there was a practical motivation for that. This wasn't just a naked, pure scholarly research that was going on. There was a commercial reason for it. People needed to know what time it was to survive. They had to know what season it was, what month it was, what day it was, for the optimal benefits of planting seeds. And they had to understand when the best time was to harvest their crops. So that if they lived in Pennsylvania, they weren't sowing their seed corn in January or in December, because they would have no corn. Even if you had an Indian summer or a freak thaw, somebody might be tempted to go out and plant because they didn't know what time of the year it was. And so the Bible says it's a very simple thing. There's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. And the time to plant is when it's most appropriate, and the time to harvest is when it's most appropriate. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. This is not referring to murder, but there are times when it is appropriate to inflict death. Every time we put a shot into a person who's suffering from a disease and we give them an antibiotic, we say it's time to kill this disease. It's time to kill this snake when the snake strikes with poison. There may be a time for inflicting death. And there's also a time for healing. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. Do you remember when God called Jeremiah? And he sent him into the nation. And he gave him this mission to preach the judgment of God upon Israel. And he was saying to Jeremiah, now is the time to break down. That before there can be renewal in my people and renewal in the nation, the old has to be discarded. Before we can have a beautiful new structure, we have to raise the old one. And Jeremiah's duty was to be the architect of the demolition. And he cringed at that because it was so unpopular. But so often, the pain of our life is when things have to be dismantled or torn down so that something better can be put in its place. Work in any organization and see how much change is resisted by people. People like the comfort and the security of sameness so that things remain the same, that to which they're inured, that to which they're accustomed, that with which they're comfortable. And change is always threatening. Every church goes through that. And it's always a chorus of, well, that's not the way we used to do it. We always did it this way, and we don't want to change. Now, not all change is for the good. Many times the changes that come are disintegrative and destructive. But there can be no growth without change. None. And a company that decides to enter into a maintenance mode of wherever they are has made a decision to liquidate. They just haven't set a date for it yet. You must keep growing, whether you're a business, a church, or a human person, or you will die. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. There's nothing more inappropriate than to be laughing when people are in pain, or to be dancing in the midst of mourning. There are times when it is most appropriate to dance. And there are other times when the appropriate thing to do is to mourn. Time to gain, a time to lose, time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, time to love, and a time to hate. A time to hate? Is there any time ever when it's appropriate to hate? Yes. God hates evil. And there are certain times when we should be filled with repulsion of that which is destructive and evil. We should hate it. But if a person only is filled with hate all the time, that's destructive. There's an appropriate time to love and a time to hate. There's a time of war and a time of peace. And so the writer asks, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors?
I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Wow. What a statement. What an affirmation of the transcendence of God and of the sovereignty of God, who makes everything beautiful in its time. This is the Old Testament statement of what Paul says in Romans, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. God, in His purposes, in His eternal plan, makes everything beautiful in its time. And listen to what else he says. And He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. This is our lot as creatures made in the image of God. God has planted a taste, a sense of eternity in our souls. And every person knows at the deepest level of their being that their life is not meaningless, that it is not insignificant, that it is not an exercise in futility, and that they were made for eternity. You know that. Yet, as we live it out from day to day, none of us grasps the time frame of God. A taste of eternity is there. It's almost just enough to tease us, just enough to tantalize us. And that's why we have to hear the word from God to assure us that there is a time that He has established for all things.
That was Dr. R.C. Sproul reminding us that we need to keep an eye on a different clock as we live our lives under the sun. Don't go away. Dr. Sproul will return to give us some closing thoughts for today. Today's message, What Time Is It?, is the second lecture in a five-part series entitled Ecclesiastes. In this study, Dr. Sproul explains that everything we do has eternal significance and demonstrates how God teaches us more in our suffering than in our happy times. The Ecclesiastes series is available on two CDs for $13.60. Our toll-free number is 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 1-800-435-4343. You can place an order or make a donation on the web at ligonier.org. Ligonier is spelled L-I-G-O-N-I-E-R. We'd like to tell you about today's offer for a donation of any amount. During this week on Renewing Your Mind, we'd like to send you a book written by Dr. Sproul entitled A Taste of Heaven. In this book, Dr. Sproul examines the key components of prayer, praise, and sacrifices that God gave to His people in the Old Testament, showing how biblical principles can guide today's worshipers. The book, A Taste of Heaven, is available for a donation of any amount. So call now. Our toll-free number is 1-800-435-4343. Once again, that's 1-800-435-4343. You may also email us at info@ligonier.org. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is Ligonier Ministries, P.O. Box 863-595, Orlando, Florida 32886. Again, that's Post Office Box 863-595, Orlando, Florida 32886. Here again is Dr. Sproul with some closing thoughts for us.
Let me ask you today a simple question, a question you've asked a million times and it's been asked of you a jillion times. What time is it? What'd you do? Look at your watch? Now, you know that's not what I'm asking. What time is it in your life? What time is it in your spouse's life, in your children's life, in your parents' life? What time is it in the life of your church, in the life of your business? We live in time, but we live for eternity. And if we are to have a contact between the two, we always have to be asking, what time is it? I always used to say in football games, And when I played quarterback, I said the two things I was most concerned about at every moment in the game was the score and the clock. If we were in the fourth quarter and we were winning by 21 points, it was high diddle diddle, the fullback up the middle, because it was time to run the ball. If we were down by 10 points and 5 minutes left in the game, it was time to fill the air with footballs, because the time determined the action. And we need to be aware of what time it is in our world, in our lives, in our church, in everything.
Thank you for being with us for this Monday edition of Renewing Your Mind. Join us tomorrow as we continue our study of the book of Ecclesiastes. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, the listener-supported radio outreach of Ligonier Ministries with Dr. R.C. Sproul.